As I said, we're going to Washington, D.C. area. Colonel Bob McGinnis is the broadcast partner looking at geopolitical activities with us. And, Bob, I've got to ask you right out of the box, this massacre in Syria, do we know yet who did it? Who's responsible? Was it Bashar Assad's command to his military to carry out this massacre, over 100 people killed, most of them children? Or could it have been a terroristic element that did it? What do you know about it?
Well, Jimmy, the Syrian government insists the killings were carried out by terrorists. And, of course, others are pointing out that it's hooligans that are associated with the Assad government. I don't know that we're going to know anytime soon exactly who's responsible. But keep in mind, there have been a number of atrocities over the last 14-plus months. More than 10,000 Syrians are dead. Many thousands are incarcerated, and over 100,000 have fled the country. So clearly, a humanitarian disaster has unfolded. And, you know, what we do at this point, if we do anything, is to be determined.
Do we know for sure that Syria is not in a civil war, or are they actually in a legitimate civil war right now?
Well, it's my position that they are in civil war, and they have been for some time. You have factions from sectarian backgrounds that are going after one another. Assad is a Alawite, which is a minority there in that country, as his father was and so forth, aligned with Iran's Shia. But the majority of the country is Sunni. And as a result of that, you found a significant friction. So on one side, you have the Sunnis and some of the exile community, some of the dissidents and so forth. Even Al-Qaeda is mixed in there. And they were going up against Assad's, you know, very large security apparatus, his military, and his minority groupings that he has aligned himself with.
I want to remind people listening to this broadcast that often we carry guest editorials. One of them is on our homepage of our website right now, prophecytoday.com is the location. Go there on the homepage. You'll see guest editorial and the question, should America's Syria strategy be one of non-intervention? Bob writes about that. And just answer that question briefly. I want everybody to read your, it's a must-read article that you've written, but answer your own question there briefly, Bob.
Well, the answer, from my perspective, is no, because we have more than enough crises to deal with now with the dwindling forces we have. But at the same time, you have the Turks to the north, the Jordanians to the south, who have very capable militaries that could take on Assad if they decided to in a unified fashion. Of course, the Arab League has made very strong protestations, and they have deep pockets with Saudi Arabia and others that could finance the activity. So for us to go in there, given all our other responsibilities, I think would be a bit naive, as well as too provocative, given that we've just exited Iraq and we're still engaged in Afghanistan. This is not an American solution. This needs to be a regional solution, and we don't need to be the leader there.
Bob, the United States cut short their military exercises there in the Middle East. They were doing that, and they excluded Israel and Syria. How do we recognize this? Is it something that maybe because of the Syrian situation they cut short, or was there any reason behind it?
Well, we don't include Israel in most of these exercises, multilateral exercises, just because you have a number of the Arab countries that are still in a declared state of war with Israel. So that didn't work in a military exercise. Also, Syria has been on our bad list for a long time, so they wouldn't be invited. The fact that the exercise was cut short, I think you could probably just take it from the U.S. commander on the ground, General Ken Tobo, who was from our Special Operations Command. He said, essentially, we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. That is not unusual, that we terminate exercises when we've reached our goals. There could be a geopolitical message there as well, given that the exercise was named Exercise Eager Lion 12, which, of course, uses the word lion in Arabic, means Assad. So, maybe they wanted to stop being provocative.
Yeah, possibly so. There's something going on with Iran's computers once again. There was some type of a virus a couple of months back, but now something called Flame has infected the Iranian computers, and the Iranians are blaming Israel. Some have said it's the United States. What's the information about this?
Well, there have been a number of these problems. You had the Stuxnet virus, you had the Dugu data stealing virus of sorts, and of course this one's the Flame, as you indicate, and what it does is it turns on a personal computer's microphones, records conversations, takes screenshots, just gathers data, which of course for the Iranians and anyone would be disconcerting. Now, whether or not Israel had a direct hand in it, I wouldn't be surprised, but they don't officially announce that, nor should they. But it has affected other computers in the region and not just Iranian computers. So, in time, perhaps we'll find out. But this is the cyber warfare that we find going on around the world, and it's something that will continue to increase.
Yeah, it is the cutting edge of warfare, is it not, Bob?
Oh, it in fact is. Interestingly, my daughter works for the Office of Secretary of Defense on these very issues, and we have a major effort in our country to counter and, if necessary, be provocative in future wars.
The New York Times came out with something that I was surprised to see they were writing about it, referring to Obama's, and the president, of course, President Obama's kill list. What is this about?
This is about politics for the most part. The president wants to claim credit for being a tough guy, and he sits in these every Tuesday morning terror meetings to allegedly make decisions on who to kill next. And I'm told, based upon this New York Times article, that they have all their top secret nominees for targeting by drones. And the president, like he were a tactical commander, says, okay, tell me about this person and should we go after this person? A whole bunch of issues. Apparently this is how they took down Anwar al-Awlaki, an American-born cleric. This, of course, is the president's way of demonstrating to the world that he's a tough guy, even though he really does makes some pretty bad decisions when it comes to other international foreign policy crises.
Yeah, and I think a kill list is a little bit worse than waterboarding, which he accused the Bush administration of. But indeed, if the end result is getting rid of terroristic leaders, it's a pretty good thing, isn't it?
Well, it's good to get rid of them. But at the same time, Jimmy, the reason the Bush administration captured these terrorists is because they have in their heads all sorts of information about future plans and other terrorists. You know, if we're going to go in and just keep killing people, as the Obama administration wants to do, we're not going to be able to find out what their future plans are and who else they're associated with. So I think, for the most part, it may make the president look macho, but it doesn't help our ultimate war against al-Qaeda and its franchises.
There was a meeting with some of the world leaders in Baghdad last week, and they are going to have another meeting on the Iranian nuclear situation in Moscow. Now, it doesn't look like anything came out of that meeting, mostly a delay tactic by the Iranians. But now the Saudi King Abdullah, is saying that if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, they're going to have one as well. This is going to not bode well in the Middle East, is it?
No. Of course, we've had indications of that for a number of years. The latest article quotes Dennis Ross, who I happen to know, who was a former senior U.S. diplomat and wrote a book, saying that when he spoke with Saudi King Abdullah on this issue, the king said, quote, if they get nuclear weapons, we will get nuclear weapons as well. Well, we heard that earlier from Prince Tuki Faisal and others. We know they have relationships with the Pakistanis. We know they have close relationships with the Chinese. And we know they have a ballistic missile program in the center of their country. They could easily, buy something off the shelf from Islamabad or Beijing and mount it on one of those ballistic missiles, which they've already purchased from those other two countries, and use it as their deterrent. That's probably what they have in mind, but it's hard to know. But clearly, this is the arms race that we have been talking about. I know I've written about it for years, and I think it's inevitable.
It's inevitable, and of course, it does set the stage for that prophetic scenario when those nations gather to go against the Jewish state of Israel. Colonel Bob McGinnis looks at geopolitical activities for us, and we're so grateful when he can give us some time. Bob, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.